Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Many St. Louisans are still reeling from a devastating tornado that ripped through the city, county, and Metro East on May 16th. And the wait for federal assistance to help with recovery efforts is prompting anxiety, frustration, and uncertainty. One of the people who is profoundly concerned about the response is Shahida Hudson. She lives in St. Louis's Wells Goodfellow neighborhood and says the tornado made her feel a sense of luck and loss. Hudson's gorgeous brick house is still standing, as well as a shady tree in her front yard. And her home didn't lose power for a significant amount of time, something that can't be said for her neighbors across the street who were without electricity for days. The storm did poke holes in her brand new siding. And while that's unfortunate, that damage is fixable. Her aunt and uncle weren't as fortunate. The EF3 tornado destroyed their home as well as their car.
At this point, we've been doing it on our own. Unfortunately, our family is like a lot of families, where even if you do have insurance, you may not have $4,000, $5,000 for a deductible, or you may not at this point have an auditor who can come out on behalf of the insurance company because they are so busy.
Hudson says she and her family plan to apply for Federal Emergency Management Agency individual assistance. But she can't right now until President Donald Trump signs off on Governor Kehoe's major disaster declaration request.
While hoping that FEMA has enough manpower, enough resources to help us when they do get here, you're left in the elements. No clothes, no car, no transportation, no medical assistance, no transportation to follow-up visits, but you're still expected to show up to work. You're still expected to show up to school. And not being able to take care of your basic needs.
There's been a lot of focus on how the city, the state, and local volunteers responded to the tornado. But there's near unanimous agreement that the real relief will come from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. FEMA individual aid can provide money for home repairs, child care assistance, transportation, and medical expenses. The program could also help people like Kelly Wishman. The tornado wrecked the graduate student's DeBolivar Place condo, literally tearing off the roof. And a subsequent rainstorm caused extensive water damage in her kitchen. Wishman will likely apply for FEMA rental assistance, especially since it could take 1 to 2 years to repair her building. Her insurance will only offer a little more than 8 months of rent for an apartment for herself, her partner, and their dog. But the wait is not only causing her anxiety, she's also concerned the timeline to get aid will hurt a lot of other people and small businesses around St. Louis.
There's literally so many unknowns in this entire process. And so every day counts, especially in the community at large. There's so many people facing these uncertainties, so many businesses that are that will probably go under from this impact because aid hasn't been allocated quickly.
To be clear, Republican and Democratic presidents have often made states wait before getting the ball rolling on FEMA relief. An analysis of recent Missouri natural disasters shows that it typically takes anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months for a president to approve a major disaster declaration. But there are dueling concerns with how Trump in particular handled disaster relief since he returned to the White House. He's rejected several states' disaster declarations, though few expect he won't sign Kehoe's request for tornado-related relief. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley said earlier this month he's going to keep the pressure on to get tornado aid to St. Louisans.
We need FEMA to act very quickly, very, very quickly, and that'll be my message to the president.
The other concern is that FEMA is also operating with fewer employees thanks to voluntary resignations and layoffs. Evan Mix is a research scientist at the University of Washington and an expert on governmental responses to disasters. Mix says the FEMA job cuts are a big unknown for Missouri and other states dealing with natural calamities.
I would be very surprised if cutting staff at that level did not impact service delivery in some way. Everything from the speed of these review processes to the actual, you know, provision of aid.
In the meantime, reactions to the recovery effort for the May 16th tornado are mixed. Yesterday, the Missouri National Guard began helping with debris removal, and city workers responded immediately. And the city reports that all fully blocked streets are now clear, and they're removing city trees and light poles that fell on private property. The city created an online page that seeks to provide a one-stop shop for residents seeking help, and Mayor Kara Spencer has held near daily press briefings. But a big part of the cleanup has fallen on volunteers and grassroots organizations to help tornado victims. For Shahida Hudson, the Wells Goodfellow homeowner, the immediate response to the tornado should provide some humbling lessons to local and state political leaders. She said if city leaders had invested more time and money into emergency preparedness, that it may not have fallen on non-governmental groups to handle much of the short-term storm response. And while Hudson stressed the federal government can help hasten recovery efforts, she added that residents need to be vigilant, that it doesn't lead to unintended consequences, such as creating situations where long-term residents with fixed incomes are ultimately taxed out of their homes.
It'll be left up to those of us who can still afford to be in this area to never forget and to remind them that we were alive when the response by the city and by the state left the neighbors and the community members, left the students, left the elderly to fend for themselves for a week while they passed the buck off to NGOs, churches, private businesses, large corporations. There were some large corporations that sent in whole flatbed trucks of blue tarps. Thank you to them. It wasn't their responsibility.
Missouri's congressional delegation is pushing for President Trump to quickly approve tornado aid. And one of the people calling for a fast timeline is Congressman Wesley Bell, who represents Missouri's first congressional district that bore the brunt of the May 16th tornado. Bell joins us now to talk about federal assistance to recovery efforts. Congressman, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Governor Kehoe sent President Trump a major disaster declaration for FEMA individual assistance on Sunday. Have you received any indication from the Trump administration or FEMA officials about why that hasn't been approved yet?
Well, typically we wouldn't get information ahead of time, and just to be clear on some information that you mentioned earlier, the average time for a declaration to be requested by a governor and being actually authorized is 11.4 days. Now, this administration has increased that time, with some of their authorizations, for example, the March 14th, March 15th one, which was just authorized the other, last week. And now that said, I think that we have to look at the gravity of the damage and the depth of the need. And in this case, particularly with respect to these recent tornadoes in North City, I think that this needs to have a little more, not a little more, I'm being facetious, but we need more urgency folks are in need in one of our most underserved communities in probably this entire region. And so I think that it's important to get the help to the folks that need it as quickly as possible. And so, yes, we are urging the administration to not take its time, but to act immediately.
There have been some exceptions to the roughly 2-month timeline that happened with the current administration and past administrations. There was a situation in 2022 when President Biden approved a disaster declaration about 2 weeks after there was really bad flooding in the St. Louis region. Given that many of your Missouri congressional colleagues are close with the president, is it possible that President Trump could approve Keogh's request under a similar timeline? Because today is the 2-week anniversary of when the tornado touched down here.
It is the 2-week anniversary of when the tornado touched down, but as far as when the declaration was sent, that was just sent last week. That said, Jason, the president can authorize it immediately. There's no requirement for the president to wait 11.4 days or 2 months. And I think that when we're talking about the urgent need with when we talk about seniors and some of our children, some folks that are disabled, and the need was 2 weeks ago. And so this can be expedited. It is solely at the president's discretion, so they don't need to wait for the preliminary damage assessments to be done. He doesn't need to do that. So that said, and as we've seen from the entire Missouri delegation, I think that urgency is necessary. And I think that we want and expect the administration to move as quickly as possible today.
We've gotten a number of comments from listeners about the prospect of Trump approving Keogh's aid request, including from Jeff Spurlock on Instagram. "I doubt," orange emoji, which is a pejorative emoji used to describe President Trump, "will approve funds for STL. He's got a parade to plan," eye roll emoji. Honestly, Congressman, there's a lot of sentiment on social media that Trump will either reject Keogh's disaster aid plea or stall it for political reasons. But are you getting any sense that that's actually going to happen, given that you've mentioned multiple times there is a bipartisan push from Republicans in the Missouri delegation to get this approved and get this approved quickly?
As I said before, until it's done, I'm going to be concerned. And I don't want to, whether the tea leaves say one thing, whether there are whispers that it's going to get done, hey, that's great. But until it's done, we're not going to rest on our laurels. And even when it's done, there's still going to be a lot of work to do. The bottom line is people can speculate. But what we're seeing, at least from the March 14th and 15th storms, is that the administration did do the right thing. And we expect them to do the right thing in this one. This storm, this is the worst storm to hit this region since the late 1950s. And it took a similar path in 1959. And so we have a lot of folks that are in need of these resources. And it's needed, and it's the right thing to do. And so, we'll know when we know. But we're going to keep the pressure on the administration.
We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Missouri Congressman Wesley Bell about federal relief for victims of the May 16th tornado. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. We now return to our conversation with Missouri Congressman Wesley Bell about federal relief for victims of the May 16th tornado. We were talking before the break about why people are concerned about Trump approving or not approving Governor Mike Kehoe's major disaster declaration requests. And perhaps the concern is that Trump rejected declaration requests in West Virginia, Washington State, and at least initially Arkansas. And, you know, I don't know the exact reasons for that. There may have been perfectly sound ones. But does this recent history suggest that Missouri may also face trouble?
And I'll say again, until the authorization is signed, I'm going to be concerned. I think it is encouraging that the March 14th and 15th storms were authorized. It's encouraging that the entire delegation, Democrats and Republicans, are supportive and united in the request that the president and do the right thing. But what folks have to understand is that the way our laws are written, it is in the president's sole discretion. There are recommendations that FEMA makes with respect to the amount of damage. The damage in this region is above that recommendation. But whether the recommendation is below or above that recommendation amount, it's still the president's discretion. Now, so, you know, we've been working with our senators, we've been working with our local and state legislators and elected leaders. Everyone is united in their support of this disaster declaration being authorized. But yeah, I'm going to continue to be concerned and continue to keep my head down and roll up my sleeves until it is done.
I do want to talk about the philosophical approach that President Trump has placed around disaster response since he returned to office. I talked with Lynn Budd, who is the head of the Wyoming Department of Homeland Security, and she's also the president of the National Emergency Management Association. And she says Trump's administration has communicated that state and local governments should take more responsibility for disaster cleanups.
It's been clearly messaged that there is a desire for the states to take on more of the responsibility for disasters. And I believe that those types of situations are being looked at. You know, is there something that they feel like the state should be able to cover or not? I don't know. That's a complete guess. But in hearing all of the talk otherwise with regard to disasters, that would seem reasonable that they're really taking a closer look at these disasters and deciding what they believe that the federal government should cover.
That was Wyoming Department of Homeland Security Director Lynn Budd talking about the Trump administration's mentality toward disaster response. I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that. You probably heard similar things before this tornado happened. What do you kind of make of the idea that the state and local government should do more instead of the federal government?
You know, I'm not going to argue that states can't do more when they have the resources to do so. But that doesn't take the federal government and in the role of the federal government off the hook. What is the federal government here for, if not to help citizens during natural disasters like these? This tornado struck several states, not just Missouri, but Kentucky, Illinois. And when we see disasters that happen on the Gulf Coast, when we see wildfires in California, these are impacting states several states across the country, and it's only increasing. And many states don't have the resources to be able to do this cleanup, this rebuild, all the things that are needed for disaster relief. They're not able to do it alone. And so, no, this has to be not a state or just a federal problem. It needs to be an all of the above. And we see folks on the ground, from regular citizens doing their part. We see our local and state officials. We see federal officials. And so, yes, the federal government needs to step up and do its role as well. So, no, I completely disagree.
I think that the other concern that a lot of people have is that FEMA doesn't have the same staffing levels as they did before Trump came in office. News reports found that FEMA has 2,000 fewer employees thanks to voluntary departures and terminations. Let's say that Trump does approve Missouri's declaration. How is a smaller FEMA going to affect actually getting disaster aid to individuals? And I know that you have said to me and you've said on the show that we have to get this disaster declaration approved before we start talking about follow through. But follow through is really important to people who really need this help. And I think it's a critical unanswered question here.
I think it's a legitimate question, and we have to juggle and deal with more than one thing at once. Now, obviously, the priority is getting the authorization so that those funds are unlocked. Obviously, that's going to be the priority. Thus far, what we've seen is that FEMA, their staff does seem to be meeting are handling and the crisis up to this point. Our office has been in constant contact with them, and we are able to get the answers that we need. And I'll say one thing, hurricane season hasn't started yet, and in a few months, this might be a different conversation. I'm not as concerned with respect to the staffing levels and what our region is going to need right now. We know FEMA was prompt with their preliminary damage assessment and being on the ground with that. A small business administration is also setting up shop in North County. I know that's not North City yet because that hasn't been authorized as of yet. But everything that we're seeing thus far is somewhat encouraging. But my answer remains the same, Jason. Until it's done, until we see the resources not only authorized but being delivered and in the hands of the folks who need it, I'm going to continue to be concerned, and the red flags are still going to be raised, and we're going to keep pushing.
There are a couple of other things that I want to ask you about that are separate from the disaster declaration request. One of the things we've heard from listeners that I think is going to be a common discovery, given that many of these homes that were destroyed are over 100 years old, is some of the buildings are testing positive for asbestos, and that greatly complicates repair or demolition efforts. I'm sure you know this, but asbestos removal is a very complicated and expensive process. Is that something that the federal government or Congress writ large can help out for residents who are in this situation?
Yeah, I think that my understanding of the resources that will be available if the major disaster declaration is authorized not only includes the emergency declaration, which is more of immediate needs, such as saving property damage, things that people need immediately after emergencies, but also the major disaster declaration. Also, those funds can go to long-term needs as well, like repairing buildings that were destroyed. We've had over 5,000 buildings that were damaged or destroyed during the storm in the North City and in St. Louis City. Those are real concerns that that we want to be able to address, and it all starts with this major disaster declaration being authorized so that we can hit the ground. And we know that the governor has been on board, and so it's going to take, again, as I've said before, and I'll say again, it's going to take an all of the above effort from local, state, federal, but even organizations and folks on the ground.
Another thing we've heard from listeners is a bit of dismay that the National Guard wasn't deployed sooner. This is a state and local decision. This is not a decision that you have the ability to control. But what do you make of that? Because I could see both sides of this, that you don't want to just deploy the National Guard for an undefined reason. But this does seem like a disaster where maybe they could have been here sooner. What's kind of your thoughts about that?
You know, obviously, this is my home. This is where I'm from. These are my neighbors. And so Yes, I would want every resource being brought to bear as soon as possible. That said, we'll have time to do analysis and Monday morning quarterback. Right now, there's a need. There's folks who are displaced. There are folks who, who are in need of, every type of resource you can imagine if your home is just taken away from you or destroyed or what have you. Mm. And so that's our focus right now, is getting the resources that folks need. And we're working on not just on the federal level, but we're working. Our office is our number one priority, and we're helping folks find whatever resources they need, get connected to whatever resources they need. That's our priority. But there'll be a time to analyze and look what should have been done. But right now, my focus is on getting the help to the people that need it most.
My last question for you, can you talk about some of the ways your office is available for concrete assistance? What have you done already, and what do you plan to do to help out this local, state, and federal effort, where you've mentioned many times it's going to require more than just the mayor, more than just the governor, and, also members of Congress to also provide help?
So what we're doing is we're doing several things, and as we get more ideas, we'll add those to the menu. One of the things that we're doing is serving as a clearinghouse for the different organizations that are doing different work. There's a lot of great organizations that are on the ground, and sometimes in a city this size, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So we encourage folks, reach out to our office if you're providing any type of resource, so we can keep that in our database. So when folks call in and they need help, and we don't care if it's a regular citizen or if it's city officials, we're another resource that will have that information at hand. Also, our office is available to walk folks through the process. Dealing with FEMA, dealing with the Small Business Administration, can be burdensome. And so our office, we have caseworkers that are ready and willing to help folks out, connect them to the resources they need, so they can get on our website, which is bell.house.gov. They can contact our office directly by phone, 314-955-9980. And anything that, and as well as simultaneously working to secure the federal resources that we need, because at the end of the day, the largest resources, the most resources by far that we can bring to bear are through FEMA and those federal resources. And so we're working in every way that we can, helping folks on the ground, in some places going door to door, to make sure that people have our information, so that when that authorization is signed, which we're going to try to speak it into existence, that we're here to help them, because there will be a deadline. For example, with the March 14, 15 storms, that deadline is July 22nd. So we're getting that information out. I've been on the phone or text messages with every mayor in the county. And we're doing the same with our leaders in the city. Obviously, once that authorization is signed, which again, speaking it into existence, we'll be doing the same thing. But we're already in contact with those folks, getting our information out so that they know exactly what to do when that clock starts ticking, because we want to make sure everyone who needs the resources gets them.
Congressman Wesley Bell represents Missouri's 1st Congressional District, which includes all of the city of St. Louis and part of St. Louis County. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime, and I hope to do this soon so we can keep getting this much-needed information out to folks.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.